Canal des Deux Mers. Historical narrative. Bordeaux to Sète. 320 plus miles. September 2026. Introduction. The Canal des Deux Mers is not a pilgrimage route, a rail trail, or a modern recreational greenway. It follows one of the most ambitious engineering projects undertaken in Europe before the Industrial Revolution. For centuries, moving goods between the Atlantic and the Mediterranean meant sending ships around the Iberian Peninsula, a long voyage exposed to storms, war, piracy, and expense. In the 17th century, Pierre Paul Riquet proposed a different solution, an inland waterway crossing southern France. Supported by Louis XIV, the project became the Canal du Midi, later linked to the Canal de Garonne to form the Canal des Deux Mers. The journey begins in Bordeaux, a city whose wealth was built on Atlantic commerce and the wine trade. It ends in Sète, a Mediterranean port created during the reign of Louis XIV. Between those points lie medieval bastides, pilgrimage towns, Toulouse, and the former Pays de Coquin, Cathar country, Carcassonne, vineyards, river corridors, and some of the most remarkable civil engineering works in French history. This briefing provides the historical, geographic, and cultural context for that journey. What makes this route different? Many long-distance cycling routes follow ancient pilgrimage roads, former railway lines, or mountain passes. The Canal des Deux Mers follows a transportation system deliberately designed to reshape the economy of a nation. The Canal du Midi was conceived as a strategic and commercial project. Louis XIV's government wanted a secure inland route linking the Atlantic and Mediterranean without requiring ships to sail around Spain. Pierre Paul Riquet's solution demanded reservoirs, locks, aqueducts, embankments, bridge canals, and an elaborate water management system capable of overcoming the geography of southern France. When the canal opened in the 17th century, it was considered one of Europe's greatest engineering achievements. The canal transformed the regions it crossed. Grain from the Loiret, wine from Languedoc, timber from the Pyrenees, and goods arriving through Bordeaux could move more efficiently across the south of France. Canal ports prospered, market towns expanded, and older river and coastal trade networks were forced to adapt. For cyclists, the result is a journey that changes character repeatedly. One day may follow a shaded canal towpath lined with plane trees. Another may cross open agricultural country, pass through a medieval bastide, or enter a fortified city shaped by the Cathar Wars. The route moves through regions with distinct identities rather than a single continuous landscape. The reward is a deeper connection to the journey itself. Rather than moving from one attraction to the next, riders experience the geography, history, and culture that developed around one of France's most important transportation corridors. Regions traversed. Ride Day 1 covers Bordeaux and Atlantic Aquitaine. Bordeaux became wealthy through wine, shipping, and Atlantic commerce. For more than three centuries, the region was tied to the Plantagenet realm established through the marriage of Eleanor of Aquitaine and Henry II. Under Plantagenet rule, including the era of Richard the Lionheart, Aquitaine was closely linked to England, helping establish the wine trade that shaped Bordeaux's economy and reputation for centuries. Ride Day 2 covers the Garonne Valley and Agenais. The Garonne Valley remains one of France's most productive agricultural regions. River transport, fertile land, and medieval market towns created a commercial corridor that continues to shape the region's economy. Ride Day 3 covers the Garonne-Tarn corridor. The meeting of the Garonne and Tarn rivers made this an important crossroads for trade, agriculture, and religion. Moissac emerged as one of the great pilgrimage destinations of medieval Europe. Ride Day 4 covers Toulouse. Toulouse is the historic capital of Occitania. Wealth from the woad trade financed many of the city's most impressive buildings, and the dye plant helped make the city one of the principal commercial centers of southern France. The rest day stays in Toulouse. With nearly 500,000 inhabitants, Toulouse is the largest city on the route. It offers southern French urban life, architecture, markets, museums, and regional culture beyond the canal itself. Ride Day 5 covers the Loiret. Known as the Pays de Coquin, the Loiret grew wealthy through grain production and the woad trade. Its geography also provided the water resources that made the Canal du Midi possible. Ride Day 6 covers the Upper Canal du Midi. This section contains some of the most impressive engineering associated with the Canal du Midi, a project often regarded as one of the greatest civil engineering achievements of 17th century Europe. Ride Day 7 covers Minervois and Cathar country. Vineyards, fortified towns, and Cathar history define this landscape. Ride Day 8 covers Mediterranean Languedoc. Languedoc is France's largest wine-producing region by volume. The region's vineyards, cooperatives, and wine economy remain central to its identity, even as markets and consumption patterns change. Ride Day 9 covers the Etang de Thou and the Mediterranean coast. Lagoons, oyster farms, fishing fleets, and maritime trade replace the inland canal landscape. This is where the Canal des Deux Mers reaches the Mediterranean world. Train Day brings the return to Bordeaux. Historical timeline. In 1154, Eleanor of Aquitaine marries Henry II of England, bringing Aquitaine into the Plantagenet realm. For more than three centuries, Bordeaux's fortunes remain closely tied to England and the wine trade. In 1209, the sack of Béziers marked the beginning of the Albigensian Crusade against the Cathars. Thousands are killed as northern French forces move against the Cathars and the independent-minded South. In 1229, the Treaty of Paris ends the main phase of the Crusade and greatly expands royal authority across Occitania, permanently altering the political future of southern France. In 1463, a catastrophic fire destroys much of medieval Toulouse. Much of the city seen today date from the rebuilding that followed. In the 1500s, the woad trade creates immense wealth across Toulouse and the Lauragais. The region becomes known as the Pays de Coquin, and merchants construct many of the grand buildings that still define Toulouse today. The blue dye produced from woad became one of the region's most valuable exports before imported indigo gradually displaced it. In 1666, Louis XIV authorizes construction of a new Mediterranean port at Sète, strengthening royal influence over southern commerce. In 1667, Pierre-Paul Riquet begins construction of the Canal du Midi. The project requires massive reservoirs, aqueducts, locks, and water management systems unprecedented in France. In 1681, the Canal du Midi opens, creating a navigable inland route between the Atlantic and Mediterranean and becoming one of the great engineering achievements of 17th century Europe. In 1856, completion of the Canal de Garonne creates the continuous waterway now known as the Canal des Deux Mers. In 1996, UNESCO designates the Canal du Midi a World Heritage Site, recognizing both its historical significance and its extraordinary engineering legacy.